I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, offering you a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there, and we need you more than ever. Today's Friday, next hour. As always, we will do our segments, False Flag Friday, and This Week on the Crazy Train, as we take a look at the insanity that the world has become, the idiocracy here in the United States. If you have not seen that movie, I highly recommend it to you. It's not going to be anything that makes you any smarter, but it's going to make you feel smarter when you start to move about public and see how accurate that movie has already become. We're 500 years ahead of schedule, according to the dates in that film. But anyway, we'll take a look at what's gone on this past week that just makes no sense, no sense whatsoever. Today, first hour, phones will be open. If you want, I've tried to start Friday Fight Club. If anybody disagrees with me on any issues, we've done legalizing drugs. I've done zero personal income tax. I do a lot of that. I talk about the military. I've got one thing today I know it'll make some people angry. I think I was talking to Clay Edwards the other day, and Clay fades some hate mail and some challenges to his show, and has for a while because he's had his Save Jackson page. He's been doing this for a while. And talking to him the other day, or hearing him on the air, I can't remember what it was, he started talking about the hate mail he had gotten. I thought, you know, I don't get any hate mail. I think I'm upset about that. I'm not really sure. Now, I'm not somebody. I believe every one of us in the 99.9% should get along, so I don't do a whole lot of pitting people against each other. To Democrats and liberals out there, I beg you to learn economics and discover the corruption of your political class. I think you can wake yourselves up if you would just do those things. So I don't do a lot of pitting of each other, you know, of us little people. I think we're all in the same boat. We better start rowing in the same direction, and it's away from what is considered leadership in this country, the kleptocracy. There we go. That is over us. But anyway, my email is mikemadison@wyeb.com. Anybody wants to send me any hate mail, you'd be my first. Maybe I'm doing something wrong. All right, we'll get into quotes of the day today. Let's see what we've got for today. This is a good one. This is Hans F. Hansen says, it takes nothing to join the crowd. It takes everything to stand alone. Seems to apply to the show on many different topics. Tacticus, old Roman emperor, or general. I'm not sure it was Tacticus. Was he an emperor? He said, the more corrupt, and here's a kind of a theme of this show, too. I've told you we are over-policed in this country. Police can do some great heroic work, but a lot of what police are tasked to do and a lot of the things they carry out are what I believe to be wildly unconstitutional policing of personal behavior. So when we talk about that, they just had the story about the spillway here in Mississippi, here in Jackson, out at the reservoir. They're going to start issuing permits. You're not going to be able to throw a line into a lake without a permit. They say it's to address the trash problem out there. Guess I'd have to hear more details. What do you have to put your permit number on everything that you bring out there? So if it ends up on the ground, they can track it down to the proper permit person. Anyway, now you got to have a permit. And I would imagine there is some fine if you do not have a permit when you fish. Should you not pay that fine, they will issue a warrant for your arrest, and you will be in a cage for throwing a line into a body of water without a state-sanctioned permit. Tacticus said, the more corrupt the state, the more numerous the laws. Conservatives, I'm telling you, you've bought into this this idea of law and order a little bit too heavy. People want dangerous people taken off the streets, but we have allowed this administrative state to grow up around us, ruled by a bunch of corrupt people. And what's the statistic is we each commit about 3 felonies a day as it stands right now. And then Tolstoy. This is a quote from Tolstoy. He said, "The essence of all slavery consists in taking the product of another's labor by force. It is immaterial whether this force be founded upon ownership of the slave," and here it comes, "or ownership of the money that he must get to live." We find ourselves in the latter, don't we? As we are all basically sharecroppers in this country when it comes to taxation. We live on what they allow us to keep, and somehow Americans aren't outraged by that. Along those same veins, one of the first stories I had here, I wanted to pass on one of my thank yous. I have taken it upon myself repeatedly to thank the American taxpayer when they don't get the proper amount of credit. I've thanked you for a whole lot of things. The Taliban, thank you for the weapons. Here is American Airlines. A big shout out from American Airlines to the American taxpayer. American Airlines on Thursday reported a $169 million profit for the third quarter, thanks to more than $990 million in federal payroll support. Yes, those American Airlines employees that are insisting that you wear the mask, the American Airline ticket that you buy with the ever-increasing fares and the fees for every checked bag and every carry-on that you bring, every change that you make to your ticket and those fees, these are all things paid by the American taxpayer as the airlines were bailed out. I will tell you the often cited statistic here that 95% of all free cash flow of the airlines was used prior to COVID to buy back their own stock to juice executive bonuses. They spent all of their cash to buy back their own stock instead of sticking it away for a rainy day. But now we know why, because the American taxpayer, against our will, I would imagine for most of us, is always going to step up, because the Republicans and the Democrats love to bail out their big donor class clients. So American Airlines would have had a massive loss in the third quarter. And so there's no more free market in airlines. American could have had plenty. Any airline that comes out and says, "Hey, we're taking people from one place to another. We got reasonable fees. You wear a mask if you want. Don't wear a mask if you don't want to. If you're vaccinated, that's fine. If you're not vaccinated, that's fine. We're just here to get you from point A to point B. We're not here as some kind of a health authority." That airline will knock the cover off the ball and wouldn't have massive losses, even during a time of COVID. But these airlines are playing the game, enforcing the rules, going with the disease theater, and it's cost them dearly. But I guess it just doesn't matter anymore. You can do whatever the government tells you to do, no matter how unpopular it is with your customers, because you know there's no way you lose any money. The government will come in and give you the money to make up the difference. This is America now. There is no more profit incentive. All right, when I come back, if anybody wants to call, disagree with me on anything for the first hour, 601-879-0002, Friday Fight Club. I may get it kicked off myself with a story that I cover next. I'll be right back. I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I? All right, so someone called me during the break, said I have a demeanor that is not necessarily easy to hate. I think that's a good thing. I don't know if it's good for talk radio. You know, you can engender some activity and go viral with some real pointed jabs and stabs. I love debating people that I disagree with, and I keep all of my Democrat and liberal friends. I think I am kind of a like-to-get-along guy. I only know a couple of people in this world that are probably not real big fans of Mike Madison personally. And that certainly has nothing to do with the radio show, but I don't know. I've tried to live a life with as little drama as possible. But anyway, if anybody wants to send some hate mail, I think I need it to some kind of validation that you're making some level of an impact here. So maybe this will crank it off. There's one topic that I cover here. Now, I don't think it's necessarily unpopular, or people would be mad at me for saying that you should keep all of your own income. Some people might disagree with me about ending the war on drugs, but I try to make the case for it. I don't just say, you know, we should just do it. I'm not a proponent of drug use in any of those arguments. But here's the one topic that has gotten me in trouble over the past 4 years. Not so much for the first year, but as I saw things unfolding, I began to criticize Donald Trump. And I saw this yesterday, a lot of people talking about this. Donald Trump is launching, I believe, the beta testing, maybe at the end of this month or next month. He's launching his new social media platform called Truth. A lot of people excited about that. I'm with everybody who is disgusted by the censorship of Silicon Valley, Twitter, YouTube, Google, Instagram. It's gone down to Pinterest. I think Pinterest and Etsy, are those not like, I don't do these things. I've seen them before. Aren't they, isn't Pinterest like home decor, pictures of home decor stuff? They have censored stuff recently. It's deep and dark in Silicon Valley for the censorship, very Orwellian there. So I share that with you, but I got to tell you, when I first heard this, that Donald Trump was going to be releasing his own social media platform, I found it a little mystifying. The idea would be, the way I've seen it couched, is that this will be a free speech zone to rival the censors of Silicon Valley. But I remember that Donald Trump was going to go to Gab, and his people approached Gab and said, yeah, we're going to move Donald Trump over to Gab, but we need to make sure that you will censor anything that is anti-Israel. I've played the clip on here. I might need to find it to back myself up here, but the head of Gab, I think his name is Andrew Torba, he did an interview where he said, yeah, we thought Trump was coming over, but his people insisted that we censor anybody who says anything anti-Israel. When Andrew Torba said no. He said, no, Gab is going to continue to be a free speech. People can say what they want to on our platform. Trump didn't move over there. I pointed this out at the time, but I'm just saying, I would find it maybe a little hard to believe that Trump won't be censoring at least that material. There was a story out yesterday that saying on the Trump Truth social network, you will also not be able to be critical of that platform itself on there. And you would not be able to, and the story recounted, this was from the terms of service, you would not be allowed to annoy, that's a quote there, you would not be allowed to annoy the employees of Trump Truth. So there's that. But there's also this. Is this the same Donald Trump launching a Truth social media site that persecuted and tried to kill Julian Assange for actually exposing the truth? Not only did Donald Trump, at the behest of Mike Pompeo, because I believe Mike Pompeo was put into the Trump administration to play Donald Trump, and he did it masterfully, kept us in every single one of the wars in the Middle East, but also persecuted the one big, giant, worldwide whistleblower exposing government corruption, exposing the deep state, the one guy that was out there heading an organization that was actually exposing the deep state. Donald Trump's administration, at the behest of Mike Pompeo, with the participation of Donald Trump, persecuted him, left him rotting in a prison cell, and most recently, a few weeks ago, we found out that they were looking at opportunities to kidnap or assassinate Julian Assange. So this is the same Donald Trump launching the, air quotes here in the studio, Truth Network? Is this the same Donald Trump who left Snowden, the guy who told us the truth about the government spying on us after James Clapper, with complete impunity, he's never gotten in trouble for it, went in front of the Senate and just lied about the fact that they were collecting Americans' data, that they were spying on Americans? Edward Snowden told us the truth. Donald Trump left him exiled in Russia while he pardoned Jared Kushner's daddy just to get his record expunged so maybe he could join another country club. This is the same guy that's going to have the Truth social network. Is this the same Donald Trump who says this experimental gene therapy shot that's about to be rolled out on our children is the greatest achievement of his administration? And that it is nothing but safe and effective, and that he had saved 20 million Americans just by fast-tracking this new jab? Is that the same person launching the Truth social media platform? I'm just asking. And then I have some of my regular critiques of Donald Trump, the guy who campaigned for 4 years and probably is still doing it now about draining the swamp, and he hired the swamp. Is this going to be the free speech platform where everything is exposed and everybody is left alone? This is the same guy who retained documents from the JFK files. He by law, was supposed to declassify everything a few years ago. But he left a bunch of the JFK files still classified, kicked it down the road. Actually, there's a new date, and it's within a couple of days, October 26th. I would imagine Joe Biden will do the same thing that Donald Trump did, which was the same thing that Bill Clinton did, where they continue to keep JFK assassination stuff secret. This is the same guy, Donald Trump, who campaigned on talking about 9/11, and we might find out who actually perpetrated these crimes, but when he became president, there was no other investigation of 9/11, and we were BFFs with the Saudis, who Trump knew before he took office were behind a lot of the funding of 9/11, complicit with, obviously, other parties. So this is the Truth Network, I've got to tell you. I've been kind of wondering exactly how Trump was going to monetize his presidency. Now, that sounds like a leftist charge, but it's true. I mean, the guy is he's about money. And I got to tell you, we'll see how it pans out. I'm certainly open to it. Maybe we need somebody to come in and compete with Silicon Valley. I look at this kind of track record and say, I'm not sure this is going to be the bastion of truth and freedom that everybody thinks it is, because the record of the people, particularly with not joining Gab unless Gab actually actively censored anti-Israeli material. This was at the behest of the Trump administration or the Trump team. They would not go to Gab unless Gab agreed to censor. So you're trading one censor for another. It feels to me a lot like just changing one party for another, when they're actually all part of the same thing. Apparently, they raised money for this thing, or it set up in one of these SPACs. Are you familiar with the SPACs? Special Purpose Access Corporations. I can't remember exactly what it stands for, but it's basically the people can just pool their money, and then they go around looking for something to buy or to invest in. It's been quite the rage for the past couple of years, starting to kind of dwindle, but they've got a SPAC around this truth thing. I think it was up 600% yesterday. The Wall Street Bettors came after this SPAC, and by came after, I mean went for. They ran the price up. It was 600 or 700% this SPAC was up on the announcement that Trump would launch this thing. So anybody who was invested in this SPAC yesterday just got a six-bagger, seven-bagger in any money that they put into it. I got to tell you, I might suspect that there are people involved with this Trump truth thing that just got a sevenfold increase in their investment just yesterday. Whether they sold or not, whether they're committed to the program, committed to the product, and it just happens to be that they just made a ton of money. But I'm just telling you, beware of being monetized by just another person. Under this idea that you're going to some bastion of free speech. So there you go. I'm not on board yet. I'm always open-minded. The Truth social media network may turn out to be the greatest thing ever. It may take down Twitter and YouTube and Instagram. It may be the bastion of free speech that we are all itching for. Of course, Gab is already there. I don't know what Parler's situation is these days. I'm just not qualified, really, to talk about social media stuff. But it just feels a lot like herding people out of one thing. It feels like Fox News. My opinion of Fox News is that people had gotten so fed up with the left-wing tilt of the mainstream media that Rupert Murdoch, who I believe was a lifelong Democrat, saw an opportunity to say, look, people are checking out on mainstream news. we need to offer them something that slants their way. And so they corralled all the conservatives into Fox News, and Fox News has been peddling propaganda now ever since. Sold you on every single war. They just are giving you a different kind of propaganda with different language and supporting different people to make you feel like you had some kind of a choice. Fox News being a bit of a Judas goat. This Truth Network feels a little bit like that to me right now. I'm open-minded. I'll wait and see. But anybody anxiously awaiting this and thinking that we're about to have a real game changer, I got to tell you, I'm not real enthusiastic.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard, melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, phone number 601-879-0002. I'm afraid I'm going to have to wade back into the Trump fight again. I've kind of enjoyed a respite from it, only because we've been dealing with other things, and I think I've got an awful lot of fellow travelers when it comes to vaccine mandates and lockdowns and Thomas Dobbs and the inactivity of Tate Reeves. And I've got stuff to talk about that as well in just a second here. But if Trump is going to make another run, I don't think he's going to run for president 2024. The man's going to be 78 years old. But I got to tell you, I'm going to point out some problems with that idea. And I believe that conservatives largely stood down for 4 years. You see where we ended up. The last thing I want to see is conservatives stand down for another 3 years waiting for a political savior, Trump or anybody else, and then stand down for 4 years while they're in office. We can't afford to get another 7 years down this road. People need to be engaged and understand there's no political solution in Washington, D.C. Nothing's coming. Somebody was asking me the other day, who do you want to see president? I said, none of the people that I know their names right now, I think would make a lick of difference. And I'll tell you right now, if they're not talking about the Federal Reserve, if they talk about spending but they don't mention the Federal Reserve, they're a phony. They're a phony. Because they know the source of the endless spending. There's only one source. It's your central bank. They can't spend like that. So when you hear a Republican come out and talk about spending and how the Democrats have gone crazy, well, all they have to do is turn off the spigots. And they'll have power again. They've had it many, many times since 1913. They've had all the power in the world to revoke the charter of the Federal Reserve. They never do it, but they whine about the spending. Why don't you stop the source of the money? Nobody seems to want to talk about that. That's so weird. So weird. What most people will do is, a lot of people are looking to Ron DeSantis right now, and I got to tell you, he's knocking the cover off the ball in Florida. No doubt about that. I'm not that excited about a DeSantis presidency myself, only because of his foreign policy, mainly because of his foreign policy. Now, I would take the increased freedom we might see at home from Ron DeSantis, but he's doing great things in Florida. Certainly would love to have him be the governor of Mississippi, wouldn't we? While Tate Reeves is apparently hiding in the governor's mansion, waiting for the arm of Thomas Dobbs that is apparently up his rear end to start moving so that he says something, but Tate should fire Thomas Dobbs 6-8 months ago, should have, but he didn't. But anyway, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday called for a special session of the Florida legislature to help write laws to protect the rights of workers and combat vaccine mandate policies. Quote, legislative action against these illegal mandates is not something that can wait until a new legislative session next year. So we will be calling the legislature back for a special session. That's what Ron DeSantis said. Ron DeSantis, and here's the thing about Tate Reeves that's so mystifying. You don't even have to be creative. You just could just copy Ron DeSantis in Mississippi to an absolute shoe-in reelection here in Mississippi. So it's really mystifying to me. Now, I don't understand the inner sanctum of Tate Reeves. The funny thing is, I thought about it the other day and thought, well, it's kind of an odd career choice that I've made here to sit behind this microphone and talk about current events and particularly politics over and over, because I hate politics. I hate them in the office. Politics is what, even within corporate structures, politics is what stops the best people from rising oftentimes. And instead, you just get sycophants. And if you've ever worked for a company,
and you've done really well, but you just don't really feel like going to the country club and playing golf and hobnobbing with people that maybe you don't really want to socialize with, and you realize you're being passed over for promotions by the people who play the game. Those are, you know, office politics. I don't like politics at all. I don't know. I probably haven't examined it enough to know. Is there a human structure that has no political aspects to it? But I hate politics. So I don't understand what Tate Reeves is doing, but I do know what Ron DeSantis is doing is at least stepping up for his people. As Tate Reeves here in Mississippi stays silent as thousands and thousands of Mississippians lose their jobs, he doesn't really have a comment about that. I mean, this kind of mealy-mouthed, the vaccine's great. I think you should get it, but I'm not really in favor of anybody mandating it. He stood by while nurses were terminated from UMC and other hospitals around. The heroes of the past 18 months are tossed aside like dish rags when they won't get the jab, and Tate Reeves is silent on it. And all he has to do is just follow Yahoo News or something. Put a Google News alert on his phone for DeSantis and do what the guy does. And he'd probably be a shoo-in for re-election, but he's not doing it. So Ron DeSantis is standing up to this stuff, which is certainly encouraging. There's other news. I've got a clip from this woman. This doctor. I'll tell you who he is first when it comes to these shots and mandates. See, I'm going to get everybody back on my side now after I took after Trump's social media thing. You'll like me again now. Dr. Harvey Reich is a professor of epidemiology at the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health at Yale School of Public Health and Yale School of Medicine. Dr. Reich is an author of more than 350 original peer-reviewed research publications in the medical literature, and these research papers have been cited by other scientific publications more than 44,000 times. So I don't know how you get more accredited. I don't know how you, I mean, Yale Epidemiology. Is there anything more established, more recognizable, more accomplished in all of these 350 peer-reviewed papers that have been mentioned 44,000 times? Is this the guy we should listen to? It seems like it. Seems like he's achieved some level of knowledge and stature within the scientific and the medical community. Here's what he had to say about these shots that, again, our health authorities are mandating to be put into the workplace. Because they will not allow the unvaccinated to be around. They you need to be fired from your job or pay for testing because you're such an existential threat to your workplace if you don't take the jab. Again, this is the professor of epidemiology in the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health at Yale University. 350 peer-reviewed papers mentioned 44,000 times, and here's what he had to say about the relationship between the vaxxed and unvaxxed in the workplace.
For the vaccinated to be afraid of the unvaccinated?
No, I put it the other way around. The unvaccinated should be afraid of the vaccinated. They're just as infective, in fact, maybe more infective. If vaccinated people are infected, so it is well known that it is the vaccinated people that generate the mutant strains and not the unvaccinated people. And that has led the corruption of the medical establishment, saying that unvaccinated people are generating the mutants is an absolute falsehood. It is exactly the opposite. This has been known for 100 years that it's vaccinated people who are more prone to generate mutant strains.
Huh. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? From a Yale epidemiologist. He's a professor of epidemiology at Yale. Huh. That's interesting. I'm going to play that clip again so you really get the full impact of it. I mean, this is not, you know, that they have tried to paint all of these people who have dissented from these things, the doctors that have called for an immediate end to this mass experiment thing. And this is, I think this clip is also important for you parents out there. The parents out there who believe you can't wait. We're going to talk later on today about people anxiously, this was said in a news story, anxiously awaiting the shots for 5 to 11 years old. And here's what's going to happen. The threat to your schools is not, the threat to general health is not the unvaccinated kids there. This is a Yale epidemiologist explaining to you exactly what's happening, particularly when it comes to these variants.
For the vaccinated to be afraid of the unvaccinated?
No, I put it the other way around. The unvaccinated should be afraid of the vaccinated. They're just as infective, in fact, maybe more infective if vaccinated people are infected. So it is well known that it is the vaccinated people that generate the mutant strains and not the unvaccinated people. And that has led that corruption of the medical establishment, saying that unvaccinated people are generating the mutants, is an absolute falsehood. It is exactly the opposite. This has been known for 100 years. That it's vaccinated people who are more prone to generate mutant strains.
I got to tell you, it makes my heart warm every time I hear people talking about the corruption of the medical establishment, because I've been talking about it for 15 years, and now it's pretty widely known. This was, however, I thought this was an interesting clip. This is our former CDC director, what's his name, Redfield. He's going a little rogue. You know, he's not there at the CDC anymore. And I guess maybe he is now able to tell the truth. Now, this does not, in my mind, excuse his behavior for leading an organization that is a vaccine sales organization, not a safety organization. It's not a watchdog. It's, you know, there's things in products. There's companies that basically say, you know, if you get our certification, people will buy the product more. I can't really think of one right now, but you'll see these on packaging. You know, some bodies that just does, you know, sign up with us and we'll verify your product, and then you can put our name on your label and more people will buy it. That's what the CDC and FDA are. They're not doing any science. I played you the clip. I hate to keep repeating myself. The clip where the FDA said, yeah, we got all this stuff in from the J&J boosters, and J&J says it's safe and effective and it works really well. They gave us the safety data, but we didn't have time to read it. We just went ahead and approved it. This is what they actually said. I played the news clip where they said, the FDA said, they just didn't have time to read the safety data. See, they're not there to protect you. They're there to help these corporate partners sell things. But now that Redfield is away from the CDC, I guess maybe he's trying to atone. You know, he's an older guy. I would imagine there's a lot of people. You would think there'd be more people, more whistleblowers after retirement. Start thinking about that conversation at the pearly gates, and maybe they need to atone. Here is CDC Redfield, former CDC director Redfield, talking about deaths and who's actually dying from COVID these days.
A lot of times people feel it's a rare event that fully vaccinated people may die. I happen to be the senior advisor to Governor Hogan in the state of Maryland. In the last 6 to 8 weeks, more than 40% of the people that died in Maryland were fully vaccinated.
Wait, what? That's interesting, huh? I'll play that one more time.
A lot of times people feel it's a rare event that fully vaccinated people may die. I happen to be the senior advisor to Governor Hogan in the state of Maryland. In the last 6 to 8 weeks, more than 40% of the people that died in Maryland were fully vaccinated.
Huh. That's so interesting. You know, I've pointed it out often that they've been telling us for months and months now, while we were seeing in Australia, we've played the stories and played the clips here where they said, you know, we've got 149 people in the hospital with severe COVID, 148 of them fully vaccinated. One of them has had just one shot. Meaning all of them. Almost all of them had two shots. One of them had one shot. I've played the clips from England where they've said that the vaccinated are making up 60-70% of the deaths. I played the clips from Israel where they said that the vaccinated in the hospitals were 90-95% of the patients that they were seeing were fully vaccinated. And yet we were told to believe that it was completely different here in the United States, that we were having a 180-degree different outcome here. Well, now, CDC director tells us that in Maryland, 40%, he says over 40% of the deaths have been in the fully vaccinated. So now I guess Thomas Dobbs will tell us, well, that's just Maryland. I mean, it really kind of feels like it's creeping closer to home, doesn't it? We had the complete opposite outcomes from Australia, from Israel, from Great Britain, from Germany, from I think Ireland and Iceland and Portugal, all these other places where fully vaccinated people were the majority of people in the hospitals and the ICUs. We were told here that's not the case. Something's different here. Must be in the water, or maybe we're just genetically superior to all of these other countries. Well, now we find out, you know, even Maryland's having the same kind of problems that Australia and these other places did. But I guess Mississippi is just different than Maryland. We're totally different species here in Mississippi than they are in Maryland. This is coming out. It's going to continue to come out in each one of those places I've mentioned, whether it's Australia or England or Israel. These numbers crept up. They started out because the vaccine is strong in the beginning against COVID for probably about, I don't know, a few weeks. And then it starts to wane, and then you see this antibody-dependent enhancement start to actually affect people who have been vaccinated. There may be just a subset of people who have been vaccinated, but it certainly was happening in all these other countries. And obviously it's already happening in Maryland. But you just believe Thomas Dobbs when he tells you, oh, that's not happening here. We're having the best of outcomes of it here. It's just the lies are absolutely astounding in the face of all of this evidence circling all around us. It's just the news. I watched the NBC Today show this morning. Absolute propaganda. CDC director was on there. They were breathlessly reporting about how excited they were that everybody can get boosters. You can now mix and match. I mean, the story on this thing smells to high heaven. Even those of you who think this thing is a lifesaver, you've got to admit that the story they're telling does not add up. I'll be right back.
It's been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place. If you're trying to get out, just follow me.
I should probably save this story for this week on the crazy train, but I saw on the news this morning they were talking about Hinds County employees that needed to get the shots. They're trying to encourage them. They're encouraging them with $4,000. $4,000. Again, thank you, American taxpayer. This is being touted as using the American Rescue Plan. I can't remember the nut job names they gave to all these different free money campaigns out there. $4,000 is what they're offering to Hinds County employees to get vaccinated. They're not sure yet if the previously vaccinated would qualify for that money. How would that make you feel? If you rushed out like a good little soldier, you rushed out and you got your jab, came back with such pride, you threw your mask away on the way in, and then as soon as you walked in, they said, oh, no, you're still going to need that mask. Did they give us a couple of weeks where they told the vaxxed that they were going to be able to live a normal life? I think they may have given us a couple of weeks, and then they came out and said, oh, no, you still need to social distance. You still need to wear a mask. And now they're telling you, oh, yeah, and you need another shot. So maybe the boosters would qualify you for this money. $4,000 for a Hinds County employee to get a shot. This is absolute insanity. And that's a convincing number. There are people who will get that shot. What the hell? What in the hell are we doing? $4,000. I mean, it started out with a Krispy Kreme donut every day for the rest of the year. It's gone up to $4,000 in these vaccinations. Yeah. Is this the same Hinds County that's got so few police? I know that's city of Jackson, but I mean, Hinds County, I don't know what the staffing numbers are at the sheriff's department. Is this the same Hinds County that's got a little bit of road work could possibly be done? I think they said the number that this program could cost, this $4,000 Benny to anybody who gets this experimental gene therapy, was $1.8 million, something like that. Is Hinds County pretty good on everything else? They're fine on that? And this is with the CDC director, with the clips I just played for you, with the CDC director saying over 40% of the people they've seen die in Maryland have been fully vaccinated, and the Yale epidemiologist saying the vaccinated are the ones causing the mutants, causing the variants. But they're going to spend $4,000 to get more of that? And Hinds County certainly, probably has some better uses for that money. $4,000 for some employees, that's going to be like a 10% bonus of their pay. Some of them higher than that. Some of these government jobs don't pay real well. And again, I was looking at, I don't have time to get into it. Joe Biden apparently did a town hall yesterday. There's no way I was sitting through that. I might should have taped it in case I was having trouble sleeping. Anderson Cooper, the former CIA employee on CNN, did a what I guess was like a town hall for Joe Biden. The drug cocktail must have been good. I saw he was still standing at the end of it, kind of shuffling around the stage a little bit. But I guess I would really like to know the pharmaceutical protocol to get Joe Biden on a stage for, I don't know, how long was he out there, an hour? I heard some of his answers. I may have some of them for clips coming up. But somehow they got him through this press conference. But the Republicans are responding to this stuff, talking about the spending. And again, I say, Republicans, you know where the money comes from. It's an institution that is not part of the DNA of America. It wasn't around at the founding of this country. It's only about 100 years old. Why don't you just stop the Federal Reserve from printing up money, which creates huge, massive deficits for our country, and then passing on the liability for all of those things to our children? You could stop it all by just revoking the charter of the Federal Reserve. That's it. It's done. After that, you'd have to get foreign countries to loan us the money, and foreign countries are not loaning us the kind of money that Washington, D.C. likes to spend. So, boom. It would be over. The spending would be over. It's that easy. In the Mike Madison Make America Fun and Free Again, that's part of the plan. Get rid of the central bank. That's the way to end the spending. Talking about it, pretending you oppose it when you're in the minority, but when you're in the majority running trillion-dollar deficits, that doesn't impress me much. And so for those of you out there asking, well, who are we going to vote for president? You want to solve one really big problem, find the one that's actually talking about getting rid of a central bank that is going to destroy future generations in this country. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Uh-huh. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Friday, so I do this segment, False Flag Friday, to try to expose the fact that just about every war that we've ever, particularly in modern times, has been based on a lie. Attacks have been based on lies. Everything's based on, I mean, we know this now, right? George Carlin said it best. He operates under one, operated, I guess, the former, late George Carlin. He said he didn't believe anything the government tells him. The problem is, with so many people, there's certain areas where you just don't believe a thing they say, and in other areas you fall forward, hook, line, and sinker. So False Flag Friday is chronicled every single war and the lead up to it based on lies. I put COVID in the false flag category months and months ago, probably towards the end of 2020. And so I guess I'm not breaking protocol by mentioning this. Just we all know here at the station, everybody listening, we all know at the station that this entire programming of WYAB is almost like point counterpoint to the CBS news breaks that we have. Every news, national news outlet is pretty much all in lockstep with what, it doesn't matter if it's CBS or Fox News or any of these things, the news breaks. But they just had a Vanderbilt medical guy. I didn't catch his name, but I started listening to him because they were talking about the shots coming out for 5 to 11 years old. This guy from Vanderbilt that was on CBS Newsbreak just now said it was going to be great because now the children, little Timmy, the children can get vaccinated and safely go see Nana and hug their grandparents, knowing that they're protecting the older generations from the virus. Number one, that's sick. We've never used our children. I mean, to me, this is like picking up a child and holding them in front of you during a robbery. Is that what we have become? A society so hysterical that we will use our children to protect ourselves? I thought it was supposed to be the other way around. But the idea that by vaccinating little five-year-old Timmy helps Nana at Thanksgiving dinner, while we know It's not a secret. It's admitted at the CDC. It's admitted with every single health authority that getting this shot does not mean you cannot contract and spread. And in some studies, they've shown you can spread the hell out of COVID if you're vaccinated. Healthcare workers tested had 251 times the viral load in their nasal pharynx. I think that's the right body part. Then 251 times that of the unvaccinated. For that doctor to come on air on national news and say getting your five-year-old vaccinated will protect grandma during the holidays is so wildly dishonest and really very sick, because it goes back to this idea that our children are these little disease vectors and they're all a threat to our senior citizens is such a gross bit of propaganda in the first place. But to say that, it can't get any more unscientific than that. And this is, I guess, presupposing that Nana already has her shot, too. This is hard to watch. It is really difficult. Quote of the day today for False Flag Fridays, H.L. Mencken. He said, "The whole aim of practical politics is to keep the populace alarmed and hence clamorous to be led to safety by menacing it with an endless series of hobgoblins, all of them imaginary." I saw this on display last night on the Sean Hannity Show as he had the great one, Mark Levin, on. I don't know if it's bad form to bash other conservative hosts, but when I think that they're lying to you, I'm going to call them out on it. And they can feel free to do that to my show if they ever got on their radar. But Mark Levin was on Sean Hannity last night talking about the ineptitude of the Biden administration, which I totally agree with, except one of the things he focused on really was our enemies. He was talking about our enemies and how weak and ineffective Joe Biden was with our enemies, China, Russia, and Iran. Same old neocon warmongering crap. On the Sean Hannity Show, Sean Hannity wearing his two CIA lapel pins and the one mystery pin I have yet to identify, but Mark Levin, another Judas goat, leading conservatives to more and more wars and announcements of enemies. Jacob Hornberger wrote a piece about this upcoming declassification of the JFK stuff. It's October 26th. Biden has another deadline. I think it was the 1990s where they set out for 20 years, you know, because from 1963 to, I think it was 1992, maybe it was a little later than that. That 30 years wasn't enough to let the dust settle to be able to tell us the truth about the JFK assassination. So in the 90s, they punted it out another 20 years telling you, anyone, it's for national security. Then the deadline comes during Trump's term, and what does Trump do? Oh, he declassifies a few things here or there, and then he leaves the bulk of it classified again. Trump punts it to October 26th. It was always very interesting to me. For a guy committed to busting apart the deep state, Trump sure did help them cover up a whole lot of stuff. He left JFK files classified, persecuted and slow-killed Julian Assange. A lot of the tools that he had in his arsenal to take down the deep state, he left unused. I'll put it that way. But Jacob Hornberger, he was one of the nominees or one of the people in the running for the Libertarian president in the 2020 election. He didn't win. He should have. He's great. But he wrote this piece. He said, "One of the worst consequences of converting the federal government into a national security state has been the stultification or warping of the consciousness of the American people. With unwavering allegiance to the Pentagon, the CIA, and the National Security Agency, all too many Americans have sacrificed their sense of right and wrong at the altar of, quote, national security. The two-word term that has become the most important term in the political lexicon of the American people." And I could not agree more. I've always gotten into a conversation with someone the other day about this, that, well, it's actually based on this story I'm about to read to you. I'm going to read you a headline that is probably going to get your blood boiling, and I'm going to ask you why. But I've been constantly amazed, and I was sucked into it, too. So, you know, if you're there right now where you believe that America should be going around kicking over countries that don't get with our program, I was there with you. I was a warmongering, neocon, Kool-Aid-drinking Republican all through the 1990s. But I got to tell you, I mean, I got a little bit older and I started to actually pay attention and realize the folly of my ways. And now I think I'm trying to atone So when I do get to the pearly gates, I've got a little something to stand on. But I've always been amazed, you know, once you wake up to the con that is the national security state, the American empire that profits only the very few at the expense of the rest of us. Once you wake up to that, it is kind of amazing to look around at this great country and see so many generous people in a majority Christian country and say, well, we don't really care if 500,000 children die in Iraq due to our sanctions, even though Iraq had done nothing to us. We just pretend it doesn't happen. And if you looked at us from outside of our borders, which I guess not many of us could do, you know, we cheer as the flyovers go over a football game. Imagine if you're watching that in Iraq and you lost all your children during the 1990s due to our sanctions, and you see the Americans cheering the military that enforced the sanctions that killed your kids. I mean, it doesn't take a big leap to have a little bit of empathy for that, to at least understand what their view is, and that will lead me into this headline here, because I saw this headline, and it is gross. There's no doubt about it. It's gross, but I find it a kind of an interesting thing to think about. Here's the headline. Just think for a second what your initial reaction to this is. Taliban honors families of, quote, heroic suicide bombers who attacked Americans. Taliban honors families of heroic suicide bombers who attacked Americans. Pretty gross headline, isn't it? You imagine that our troops that were sent half a world away to fight and die in the sand, many of them died at the hands of these Taliban suicide attacks. So it's really gross, and the knee-jerk reaction is to just say, oh my gosh, we just need to go back over there and handle them, don't we? Here's the interesting thing, though. If you really take a step back and look at it, I've talked about the movie Red Dawn quite often. If China was to invade the United States, kicking in doors each night, bossing us around, and this is not anti-troop, but it is what we did. We invaded another sovereign country. We took over their government. And we fought a 20-year war against these people. If China came over here and waged a 20-year war, I know a whole lot of patriots, a lot of good people out there that would fight like hell for this country. And I would imagine some of that might include some suicide bombings if they thought that they could get some of the enemy that was destroying the country and turning us into a communist hellhole. Wouldn't you fight hard, fight like hell? Any means necessary if you've been invaded by a foreign country? I got to tell you, that's what the Taliban did. Now, I don't agree with Taliban way. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to live under Taliban rule. It's objectionable to me. But the bottom line is, and again, I think it's gross that we have to live in a world where we celebrate fighting a hostile invading force. The problem is we were the invading force there. These were people who were loyal to their country, even if we believe their thinking was twisted and the Taliban rule is just, you know, stuff from the dark ages. And I do as well. In America, should the Chinese invade us? Should the Russians invade us? Should some other country invade us and take over our country for 20 years? We would also celebrate the American patriots who fought back against that occupation. Again, I'm not condoning the Taliban. I hate that our troops were wounded. 2,401 U.S. military personnel were killed in Afghanistan with over 20,000 wounded in these kinds of attacks. I do not support that. I'm sick by it. But what I'm most sick by is the warmongers in Washington, D.C. that sent our kids there in the first place. That was the original sin of this whole thing. I don't know. It's just one of those things. You know, when you see these headlines as an American, it can get so outraged about them. But if we ever thought the shoe would be on the other foot, I don't think the headlines would be any different. Americans would celebrate us fighting a foreign occupier as well. Yeah. When it comes to foreign policy stuff, the hottest of hot points right now is Taiwan. Seems to have kind of calmed down over the last week to 10 days, but Chinese have been flying their jets over, making a bunch of moves, doing war drills, these kinds of things. Everybody's grabbing, clutching pearls that they're going after Taiwan. Joe Biden last night was asked about this, and the White House is already walking it back. I found it interesting this morning watching the news. They were talking about several of the things that Biden said last night. You know, the beautiful thing, if we can have any moments of joy of a Biden presidency, because the people behind Joe Biden, the people running the show, are so disgusting, it should give you a little bit of a smile to know that every time he has to go out in public and just speak extemporaneously, that his advisors, the people calling the shots, have got to just be puckered. They have got to be so worried about what that man is going to say. They cannot sleep for days thinking of what catastrophe is going to come out of his mouth. So, if nothing else, we can have the joy of that. But he was asked last night about Taiwan.
Welcome. Hi. Where in Connecticut are you from?
Greenwich. China just tested a hypersonic missile. What will you do to keep up with them militarily, and can you vow to protect Taiwan?
Yes and yes. We are...
Come on, Joe.
Militarily.
There we go.
China, Russia, and the rest of the world knows we have the most powerful military in the history of the world.
How terrifying is it to think that Joe Biden, theoretically, is the commander-in-chief of the most powerful instrument of force that mankind has ever known? Is in this man's hands. Now, we all know they take Joe Biden and give him... He went straight to a nap after this, and there's other people calling the shots, but... The world looks at this man and thinks, oh, my God, he's in charge of that huge military?
Don't worry about whether they're going to be more powerful. What you do have to worry about is whether or not they're going to engage in activities that will put them in a position where they may make a serious mistake.
It's so hard for me to listen to this blood-soaked monster. Joe Biden is just, he's a war criminal. Has been for all of his career, voting for different wars as vice president. They're things that they did in Ukraine and Libya and Syria. He is a blood-soaked, warmongering criminal that should be tried in front of The Hague.
And so I've spoken and spent more time with Xi Jinping than any other world leader has. That's why you have, you hear people saying Biden wants to start a new Cold War with China. I don't want a Cold War with China. I just want to make China understand that we are not going to step back. We are not going to change any of our views.
So are you saying that the United States would come to Taiwan's defense if China attacked?
Yes, we have a commitment to do that.
All right, we're going to...
So that was Anderson Cooper with that question at the end. The CIA trained Anderson Cooper, making sure that he's got that war on tap in case he needs it. He wants to make sure get him on the record. And if anything happens to Taiwan, I tell you right now, I want to see the Taiwanese people as free as they can possibly be for the rest of their history. China invading that country would be a disaster, but we do not need a war with China. I don't know what the plan there is. There's one other thing I wanted to include in False Flag Friday here, and it's one thing that's been going on for a while. And Trump was participated in this as well, and it was when the Russians were trying to build their Nord Stream pipelines to Europe to provide them with gas. Donald Trump made a big deal about the fact, well, we pay all this money to protect Europe, and they're going to go and buy gas from Russia and make themselves vulnerable to Russia. This is just a giant talking point. It's a way to try to get the oil and gas people here to make money. The donor class here makes money selling gas to Europe, so they had to demonize Russia. Well, there have been some shortages in Europe after they started buying some, particularly, I believe, natural gas from Russia. And so there were a lot of people out there. I'm sure most people haven't even heard this because it's so far off the headlines now with COVID and vaccines and everything else. But a lot of people were saying, look what's happened. They're having some energy shortages in Europe. It's all because of Russia's. It's all Russia's fault. See, as soon as you start doing business with Russia, they're going to strangle you and manipulate the market. And they're going to. But this came out. Who was this guy? He's the guy from the president of the European Commission, Frans Timmermans, actually came out on Belgian TV the other day and said Russia is fulfilling its gas supply contracts. He added that we have no reason to believe it's putting pressure on the market or manipulating it. The United States, the neocons, the people who profit from pipelines, and that's the reason that they send our kids off to wars, they're the ones that have been fighting these pipelines from Russia. Not for any national security purpose, not to protect Europe. Russia is dramatically closer to Germany. If you ever get a hold of a globe, you might want to take a look. Russia is closer to Germany to provide natural gas to Germany, but we say they should get it from us, half a world away. But it wasn't Russia. It was just another false flag where they're trying to implicate Russia in this energy situation. And just to say this, too, and look, Putin's a thug. I wouldn't want to live under Vladimir Putin. I'm sure if you get on the outside of that, he's corrupt. He's rumored to be worth billions of dollars. But he's a bit of a statesman. He's a calm force. I admire at least the image that he projects around the world, and they've shown a great deal of restraint around the world in places like Syria and dealing with Iran. They've really kind of tolerated a lot of American adventurism where a hot-headed Russia might have retaliated, particularly in Syria. But here's something Putin said. Simply monstrous. Putin says teaching young children they can easily swap genders is a borderline crime against humanity. That's the president of Russia. Here in the United States, gender's a construct and sexuality is fluid. But you've got Vladimir Putin saying teaching young children they can easily swap genders is a borderline crime against humanity. And he's absolutely right on that one. So when you see all this demonization from Russia, and again, Mark Levin did it last night. The Great One, they call him, on Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity also demonizes Russia. You might want to think about that. Think about that. It seems to me that one of the reasons Russia's on the outs with the neocons is they're not playing the same game as everybody else. Now, I could be wrong. Vladimir Putin could be a globalist in hiding and just a scumbag politician. I'm always open to that. I'm not in love with Vladimir Putin, but he may just be a little bit more of an outsider than they're willing to allow, and it's why they demonize Russia. So always be on guard for Russia hysteria headlines that they're acting aggressively or doing anything untoward. Come back. We'll take a look at this week on the Crazy Train.
What's the frequency, can it be shot, been so drained?
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. This is Friday, and so we end each week with this segment I call This Week on the Crazy Train. admittedly, this segment was a little bit more funny a while back because we were really focusing in on social justice warriors and some of the nut jobs that made comments along those lines. Now, so much of this is driven by COVID because it is where the true insanity in the United States lies right now. So I'm going to point out a bunch of these things, and then there's a great supercut that's going around that will feature that will explain a lot of what we're about to hear from the media when it comes to COVID stuff. This is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in our society, and that's saying a lot after the last 18 months, but it's the parents. The parents and this new shot.
If you're the parent of a 5 to 11-year-old, you may be anxiously waiting for the Food and Drug Administration to authorize the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for your children. Well, you might not have to wait much longer. Meetings of the FDA and CDC at the end of this month and beginning of next could lead to emergency use authorization. And the Biden administration announced plans this morning to try to make sure those shots are available to kids as quickly as possible.
If you are a parent who is anxiously awaiting a shot for your 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11-year-old, please, please, as a public service announcement, I beg you, seek immediate psychological help. Because if you're anxiously awaiting this thing, you must think there is some danger to your kid or to the people around your child. And it simply does not exist. Seek help. But it's really not about protecting our children. We've become a hysterical generation of adults who are scared of our little diseased children. And so everybody thinks everybody needs to do this for everybody else. John King at CNN revealed that he has got multiple sclerosis, but he was so appreciative to his coworkers.
I can do something to help protect somebody else. I'm going to share a secret I've never spoken before. I'm immunocompromised. I have multiple sclerosis. Right? So I'm grateful you're all vaccinated. I'm grateful my employer says all these amazing people who work on the floor who came in here for the last 18 months when we were doing this are vaccinated now that we have vaccines. I worry about bringing it home to my 10-year-old son who can't get a vaccine. I don't like the government telling me what to do. I don't like my boss telling me what to do. In this case, it's important.
So what does John King base this on? This shot does not protect anybody around you from having the vaccine. I assume he's had the shot. He's saying they mandated it at CNN. He's got the shot. The people who are around him have gotten the shot are not unable to spread it to him. This entire thing does not make any sense whatsoever. I mean, I did this on the crazy. You know, crazy is kind of like Man, that's crazy. That's how this segment got started. It was listening to social justice warriors and some of the just bizarre, funny ramblings of the left. It has gone into the insane train. And he has got to know that people around him having this shot are no protection to him. He may believe the shot protects him, but the people he's thanking, they're not protecting him. They can spread it like anybody else. Joy Reid, one of the worst on television. She's got a real problem with the first responders who refuse to get the jab.
New York City announced today that vaccines would be mandated for all city workers with no testing option. That includes police officers, who are currently 69% vaccinated. Their union is already vowing to fight the mandate anyway.
Yay.
It's a pattern that we've seen across the country with police unions and officers coming out against mandates. Seattle's police union called the mandate a public safety crisis, as if vaccines aren't for the public's safety. The city's police and firefighters, who were fired for noncompliance, made a very dramatic exit, marching to City Hall to turn in their boots. Then there's the Los Angeles County Sheriff, who said he won't enforce the city's mandate, though there's still a 2-month grace period for employees to get their shots. But there's no place like Chicago, where the union president directly urged officers to ignore the city's mandate, making the prediction that it would lead to a 50% cut in cops on the street. Of course, Republicans are taking advantage of the situation in Chicago, with Indiana Senator Mike Braun trying to recruit Chicago officers to Indiana, saying, "You deserve respect. Bring the COVID here." And none other than Jim Jordan mentioned the Chicago police in a tweet.
That is just such a disgusting propaganda. Bring the COVID here. This is the presupposition that if you don't have the shot, you have the disease. Like, this is this either or. That the pure bloods are all vectors of disease. It's so sick. And you know, in comments like that, they just stick them in here or there. That is all part of conditioning. When people hear that stuff, and you know, the people listening to Joy Reid are not real intelligent in the first place. And so you're just programming their mind. If you come and you're unvaccinated, you're bringing the disease with you. There's absolutely no basis in fact for that.
Of course, Republicans are taking advantage of the situation in Chicago, with Indiana Senator Mike Braun trying to recruit Chicago officers to Indiana, saying, "You deserve respect. Bring the COVID here." And none other than Jim Jordan mentioned the Chicago police in a tweet, along with Kyrie Irving and parents at school board meetings saying, "Freedom is contagious." You know what's actually contagious? The coronavirus. Police officers are supposed to protect and serve, but they're actually putting themselves ahead of the citizens they could infect. So for putting Americans in...
The vaccinated cops can infect the citizens too. There is no difference in transmission between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. And there's a lot of evidence out there that people who are vaccinated, if they contract the virus, have a higher viral load and will be spread more of the disease. This is insane.
Danger. Officers and unions who are fighting against vaccine mandates, which essentially means fighting to make the public sick, are tonight's absolute worst.
No, Joy Reid, you are the absolute worst. But I encourage all the police, firefighters, first responders to remember Joy Reid's impression of y'all. If anything should befall her and she needs your help, you might remember what she had to say about you there. This is Lena Wynn. You know, I'm trying to kind of figure out. I'm always looking for the story behind the story. They readily admitted that Colin Powell had been fully jabbed and still died of COVID. I'm trying to figure out why they allowed that to be such a big part of the story. Maybe it was because he had so many other comorbidities that they think that they'd get a pass on this, and that it was his comorbidities. The shot would have worked had he not already been so sick, but this is Lena Wynn.
Just a few seconds here, but we got the news today that former Secretary of State Colin Powell died of COVID-19, even though he was vaccinated. He had the so-called breakthrough infection, probably because he was vulnerable. He was treating cancer. Your thoughts?
It's really important to mention that Secretary Powell was 84 years old, had multiple myeloma, this blood cancer, and therefore was in the highest risk category of individuals who are both medically frail and in the category of people who the vaccine just may not induce as much of an immune response in these individuals.
But I'm so confused, because every time they tell you to rush out and get your jab, they always highlight the immunocompromised, don't they? They're talking about it with the boosters. The first thing they did was they announced that the boosters were available for the elderly and the anyone immunocompromised. Now Lena Wen's coming on and saying, well, he was immunocompromised, so the vaccine just, of course, it wasn't going to work.
And so this is the reason why we really need to get everybody to have immunity, because ultimately that's what's going to protect all of us. This does not illustrate that vaccines are not working.
Of course not.
But rather that we all need to be protected. Yes, the vaccines protect you, the individual, but there are going to be some individuals who are particularly vulnerable, and it's up to all of us to protect them.
Get a shot in honor of Colin Powell.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I've already said where I believe Colin Powell is resting right now. There is one company that's fighting back, though. I've highlighted them here. They're a hero. I went onto their website, and I thanked them for their strong stance. You can go to their website, find them, send them a customer service message, just thanking them for being the one company that is actually not just not going along, but speaking out forcefully against mandates for their customers.
Indoor dining has been temporarily closed at an In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco over COVID-19 protocols. The San Francisco Department of Public Health says employees at the Fisherman's Wharf location were not properly checking proof of COVID-19 vaccination from customers. And because of that, the department temporarily closed the restaurant altogether. The restaurant has since reopened except for indoor dining. In a statement, In-N-Out says the store properly and clearly posted signage to communicate local vaccination requirements, but it continued to say the company fiercely disagrees with any government dictate that forces a private company to discriminate against customers who choose to patronize their business.
I tell you what, if there was an In-N-Out Burger within striking distance of me right now, I'd be there. I would have been there two or three times the last couple of days. Yeah, I still eat healthy, but I got... I love a good burger, and In-N-Out Burger should be patronized. Here's a fun one just to show you just the absolute absurdity of this stuff. People in Ireland have been told that they will have to wear masks in nightclubs, but not when they are eating, drinking, and dancing. Irish government scrapped plans to lift restrictions entirely after media-induced fear-mongering about a surge in COVID cases. Caused, as Reuters admits, by mass testing after kids return to school. Under the new rules, people will be able to enter nightclubs after presenting proof of vaccination, but not negative COVID test, despite the fact that vaccinated are able to pass on the virus. The London Evening Standard reports, quote, people going to nightclubs will have to wear face masks except when eating, drinking, and dancing. It's science, people. It's science. I got a couple of supercuts here. I got the first supercut here. This is about COVID control. It's nothing about health. So you'll hear the media explain all of the control measures they need. They need total control of every person in order to control the virus. And then I'll play the supercut that's making the rounds that explains why the media is doing this.
No one likes to mandate people to do things that they may not want to do. But sometimes for the greater good of society, you have to do that.
You've got to start telling people if you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this office or this place of business.
We really need to make it clear that there are privileges associated with being an American, that if you wish to have these privileges, you need to get vaccinated. Travel and having the right to travel interstate, it's not a constitutional right as far as I know.
Getting vaccinated is not a personal choice. It's not. It's something that we do for the community.
I think that he should approach this with an iron fist.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come to work.
People aren't then going to threaten to go to another workplace. If every workplace has that same requirement, that's a good thing. So I don't think it's overreach. I think this is what's needed in the middle of a pandemic. And in fact, I think the Biden administration, if anything, could have gone even further.
And those governors that stand in the way, I think it was very clear from the president's tone today that he will run over them.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this gym.
Screw your freedom, because with freedom comes obligations and responsibilities.
Your personal choice ends where my right not to get killed by an infectious disease begins.
Good grief. Oh, this is making my stomach hurt, but we've only got a few more seconds.
So we have these collective actions for the good of the community. Not the individual.
We don't live in a bubble. We live in a community. And that is why there have been a number of instances throughout history where we have made a decision as a society to abide by common rules that protect the common good.
We really have to think in terms of what is best for society at this point.
If you don't get vaccinated, you can't come into this, get onto this airplane.
You can stay unvaccinated if you want, but you're not going to be able to travel to see your family.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Yeah. So this is across the media spectrum. A lot of that was mostly CNN and MSNBC, some of the other major networks. And this clip is making the rounds right now that explains exactly why the media is so hysterical about making sure that you are stripped of all of your rights and, as they say, privileges unless you get the jab.
Is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch sponsored by Pfizer. Anderson Cooper 360. Brought to you by Pfizer. ABC News Nightline. Brought to you by Pfizer. Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer. CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer. Early Start. Brought to you by Pfizer. Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front. Brought to you by Pfizer. This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Yeah. It's all about science and your health. Just keep on believing that.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the week. This week flew by for some reason. I'm not sure why, but it's the quickening. I always get a lot of calls during this segment when I play these clips. I don't take calls during the last hour of Friday because I've just got a bunch of material to kind of rapid fire get through. First hour of every Friday show, I try to open up the phones, particularly for people who disagree with me. I just can't get any takers. Maybe I'm just that convincing. Is that what it is? Maybe I'm just that convincing. I want to remind everybody from this weekend, if you're looking for somewhere to go, check out Your Pie in Gluckstadt. 10-inch brick oven-fired pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, gelato, beer, wine, they got it all. TVs for the games, if you're looking to check out a college, a pro game, or even high school games on Friday nights, they've got a great spot to do that. We'll tell you, they're struggling. They're struggling with the labor markets. I am actually out at Your Pie helping them try to solve some of their labor issues, and I'm stunned. To see what is supposedly our entry-level labor market here. But if you know somebody who is looking for a job, pay is good. Pay has gone up. I guess workers are a little bit in charge right now. Pay's gone up. But they're looking for some good people that make some good money, get some good experience. It's a good stepping stone for people. Or if you're just looking for something to use your time during the days or maybe even on the weekends, you'd like to pick up some shifts out there. It's a great place to work. And I tell you, it's interesting. This time is a time that anybody entering the workforce has got a golden opportunity to shoot to the top because there's so many problems in the labor market now. Good employees are hard to find, and good employees will be rewarded handsomely and quickly. So if you've got a child or you're a young adult and you're looking to start your professional life, boy, this is a great time. If you do it right, I'll tell you what, this could be the thing that sets you up for life because employers are looking for good people. Anyway, Your Pie struggled with that, and sometimes they can't even open. This is the same with other retail organizations and other restaurants. It's rough, but check them out. You can also get the download of the Your Pie app. You'll get goodies and points and freebies and all kinds of things. So check them out. They're at 340 Calhoun Station Parkway right up there by Germantown High School. Express your inner pizza. All right, last few things here on This Week on the Crazy Train. Let's see what we've got and what I've got time for here. This one is just, it's sad. It just shows how far we've fallen. DC Comics is turning into a villain.
And now, during this time of social reckoning, Superman is in the spotlight. DC Comics announcing it will drop the American Way from the superhero's motto. Instead of truth, justice, and the American Way, it will now be truth, justice, and a better tomorrow. DC Comics saying the change was made to better reflect the global storylines that we are telling across DC and to honor the character's incredible legacy of over 80 years of building a better world. But critics describe the change as political grandstanding.
And I believe it was last week, wasn't it, that Superman came out as gay? DC Comics. Watch out. Don't let your children read them anymore. This one is a sign of, I talk about the labor markets. This is a sign of that.
Time to check the pulse, and we begin with a battle over paternity leave.
Okay, a British CEO is sparking debate after posting a poll on LinkedIn asking whether he should allow an employee who just bought a puppy to have paid time off. 30,000 people weighed in, with more than 60% of them saying no way.
Some people joke that people have officially gone crazy. Others took the employee's side, calling it a life event.
So the CEO decided to let the employee work from home for a few weeks. Look, if this policy passed, I'd be like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, and take like 9 weeks off of here.
It's okay. It's bonding. It's bonding.
Paternity leave. Yeah, I talked about the labor market the other day, and one of the listeners sent me something saying that, I think it was in their company, somebody had asked human resources. They got an hour off for lunch every day, and the employee asked, does that hour start when I leave the office or when I get to the restaurant? Oh, I wish I had the Noodle Boy clip queued up here. Let's see. This is another, you know, technology, I got to tell you, a little creepy.
There's also news of a major medical breakthrough tonight. For the first time ever, surgeons in New York transplanting a pig's kidney into a human patient with no signs of rejection. The patient was brain dead before the surgery, the kidney functioning normally. Scientists hope this could help ease the desperate need for transplant organs.
I got to tell you, it goes back to Seinfeld and Pigman. We'll finish up with this. This is Greta Thunberg. She teamed up to butcher a song with Rick Astley.
We are no strangers to love.
You know the rules, and so do I.
Get ready. I know this is a popular song. You may never hear it the same. Greta Thunberg, the climate change activist, brought on stage with Rick Astley. It did not go well. Okay, I'm sorry. I know that song is a bit of an earworm. I apologize. That's Greta Thunberg brought on to lighten up the crowd there with their climate change and Rick Astley. Poor Rick Astley. Oh, well. That's about all the things I can get to today. There was a great clip by Barry Weiss. Don't have any time to get to it. But we'll continue to watch these things, compile clips every week. That segment gets easier and easier to prepare for, unfortunately. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you on Monday.
No matter
bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.